So we are talking about seasons of parenting, and we've been looking at this for 2 weeks now, and this whole, these seasons, because we've looked at, we said, hey, there's four seasons when it comes to parenting. There's that pre-season, that season before you're ever even a parent, before that ever even starts, that's your pre-season. This is when you can begin to think about and begin to develop some of your ideas, and what do you think about, what you should do, what you shouldn't do, what would you do, and you begin to process what you would do as a parent when you become a parent. And then when we look further on than that, then there's the regular season. The regular season is when we're in the thick of it, when we're actually raising these kids, and we've got this little ball of joy that all the way through high school, and that is that regular season. And then there's this post-season. And post-season happens right after high school graduation, when they move into either college or they move into beginning their own career, but they still are looking for help and guidance from mom and dad, and they're not completely out on their own just yet. And so that's going to be this postseason. And then the off season is when they are now completely off on their own, and they're completely providing for themselves, caring for themselves, providing and doing all the things that they would do because now they are fully sustained as an adult. These are these different seasons of parenting. And as we think about these different seasons of parenting, we started off pre-season with this thought right here, that the role of parenting is to lead our children to become successful, independent from us, but fully dependent upon God. That would be what we would be doing. That's what our desire would be, that we would be raising kids, it would become successful, that they would be independent from us, but yet they would be fully dependent upon God. And so when we look at that and took that a little bit further, we said it's our job, it's our role as parents to create honor students. That's what we would do, that we would create honor students. Now, I'm not talking about the little bumper sticker that goes on the back of the car that says, my kid is an honor student at. I'm talking about that we would understand what this instruction was. It was given to us. It's part of the Ten Commandments. It was commandment number 5. We looked at it on week 1, Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. And we looked at that where it says, honor your father and mother. That this is this command that was given. And that we as parents, yes, we have a role in that. Yes, we want to show that verse to our kids and ask them to memorize it and live it out. Honor your father and your mother. But we need to understand that we have a role in that. And so we should be creating honor students, that they would honor us and others with their actions and with their attitudes. Last week we had a guest, Walker Moore, that came and did just a great job. It was just certainly our pleasure to be able to have him come in and share with us. And he talked during this regular season of parenting. He talked to us about the importance of our role of being connected with our Heavenly Father. And that we would take that role very seriously and all that we would do with it and how we would live out our life and how we would model this to our own children. And then he came in the afternoon and he actually shared with us a 2-hour parenting conference, giving us some of the nuts and bolts of parenting. And I just want to share with you, whether you were here or not, I want to share with you one of the nuggets that came out of that, that as I just looked back through my notes and I was just looking at the things that he had shared, that here's just one of the standouts, and he had many that he shared, and it was this. It's not going to be on the wall. It's just here. He said this. He says, where there are little to no consequences, there will be little to no values. That if we don't give our kids the consequences for their behaviors, then we're not going to help them to develop values. And we're not going to be developing their value system in a healthy way. And so that was just one of those great nuggets that came out of that. Well, let's get into where I want to go today with this whole post-season parenting. How many parents do we have in the room that you're a parent? Just raise your hand, keep them up, because I'm going to ask you another question while you're still holding them up, okay? How many of you think that 9 months is enough time to prepare for parenting? Yeah. It's almost as if it was like, hey, God, what were you thinking? I mean, because like 9 months, this isn't enough time. And not that you're going, yeah, can we just take this, stretch this out even longer? Because nobody wants that either. But that's just not enough time to prepare for parenting. In fact, if I were to ask you, how many of you think that 18 years is enough time to prepare for parenting? I bet you we still wouldn't have anybody who would be going, oh, yeah, that's enough. But if we were to think about it, and those of us that have certainly been in the thick of it, or maybe you're finished with being in the thick of it, that when I think about what would equip us to be able to be the best parents that we could be, I think of a system kind of like this. What would it be like if we could just have our first kid and we would raise them all the way up and set them free, and then we'd start having all of our others after that? I mean, not that we want to be in it that long, but wouldn't we be so much wiser as parents that if we would have had all that time to think through all of that process, all to see all the mistakes and journal it all the way through, and then go, okay, I think I'm ready to do a pretty decent job now. You know, sorry you were the first. But parenting, it's something that takes a lot of effort and energy for us to figure out, how can we do this? How can we do it well? Because our goal is that we would have kids who would grow up, they'd be successful, they wouldn't depend on us, but they'd be fully dependent on God, that we would be able to have a great relationship with them, they would make great contributions to our society, they'd have a great relationship with their Heavenly Father, that they would have fulfilling relationships. That's what we desire, that is what we long for. And parenting, you know, sometimes it's unexpected. Sometimes for us, it's parenting that we didn't know that it was coming, and it's like, surprise, you're going to be a parent. Oh, okay. That it's unexpected. Sometimes it's been even unwanted. I wasn't ready for that. I wasn't going to go that way. I didn't want to do that yet. That parenting, sometimes it's planned for. Sometimes we've tried to prepare for it. Other times we go, you know, hey, it's not because I actually said, hey, we're going to actually have a kid. It's because we went, hey, we want to adopt a kid, and we get into it that way. Maybe you're somebody that for you got into parenting because you fell in love with somebody, and they already had kids. They were already somewhat grown, and you're like jumping in, and you never even had the baby time. Parenting, we all get to it different ways. But when it comes to parenting, even if you're not currently raising a child, even if you're somebody you think, I will never be a parent, this matters. It even matters to you. Let me tell you why. Because how others parent does affect you. It does. How others parent, it ends up affecting you as you interact and you do life with other people's kids. And this is a subject that it matters to all of us. So let's look at Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. We're going to look at four verses here. Verses 18 through 21. This is from a guy named Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul, he had been able to see some things, observe some things. And so he ended up giving some instructions based on our family dynamics. And he started with this. I'm going to probably get some sighs and some and people checking out as we start this. But here, let me go ahead and start. Wives, submit to your husbands. That's always that. One of those preachers, aren't you? I'm just sharing the scripture with you guys. Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting for those who belong to the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and never treat them harshly. That we should never focus on verse 18 or verse 19. That this should always come in tandem. That this should be something that we should look at as a whole. And when we do, there should never be any issues. Because when we're loving our wives and we never treat them harshly, when they see that they're the highest priority for us outside of our relationship with God, it should be natural for them to submit to us. Because we're not just trying to do things and wield power over them. We're trying to care for them and lead them in the way that God would want us to. That women, when you begin to see this in your husband, that he loves you, and you begin to see a man that never treats you harshly, this is somebody that you want to choose to go, hey, I want to follow what your leadership is, what your guidance is. It becomes natural. But Paul goes on, and he involves the whole family in what he has to say. He said, children, obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. Now, some of you out there are going, wait. You left out a word. Okay, well then let me read it again and you add the emphasis to what I left out. Here we go. Children. You guys are weak. Man. 9:30, nailed it. So you guys are going to have to go there for one service, learn how they respond, and then come back and bring it back. So I'm going to give you another shot. Here we go. Children.
Always.
Oh, now you got better than 9:30. So that's good. All right. Children, always obey your parents, for this pleases the Lord. That even if you don't want to please your parents because of who they are and who they've been to you, even if you're not motivated to do that, you should be pleasing your parents. You should be obeying your parents, because what this will do is it will cause you to please the Lord your God. And then he said this, fathers, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. Now, I find it really, I saw several heads doing this. I find it real interesting that what Paul had to say here is he didn't say, parents, do not aggravate your kids. He didn't say, moms, don't aggravate your kids. But what he said is he said, fathers, do not aggravate your children. That it's almost as if Paul had been around a few families. And he had seen the dynamic between a father and a child. And he's warning us. Dads, he's warning us. Do not aggravate your children. So my kids, I've got a 15-year-old daughter. Her name is Mary. Yes, I know how to say Mary, but her name is Mary. Rhymes with Siri, and she was before Siri came around, so she's kind of proud of that. And then I have Noah, who's 17. And those are our two kids. Now, I think that if we were to ask Noah, and he's over here right now, I think if we were to ask Noah, how many times have I aggravated you? I think that he would be able to add all that up probably just on one hand, how many times I've aggravated him. That, you know, it's like, you know what, God gave me a hand so I could keep track of how many times my dad has aggravated me. But my daughter, Mary, she does not have enough extremities to count how many times I have aggravated her. She just doesn't. You know, and when she was young, and this happened all the way through her years until she was a teenager, you know, right before she became a teen, she would have a natural response whenever I aggravated her. And this was her response. Yeah. That was it. That was what she would do. When I got to the point where I aggravated her, she would respond with, yeah. And one time I asked her, I said, Mary, can you spell that for me? See, that's, I think, what Paul was talking about. Because, see, probably what I did up to the point where she went, nyeh, the first time, was totally justifiable and was right for me as a parent. But when she responded with her, nyeh, and I said, can you spell that for me? That was me aggravating my child in a way that I was warned not to. See, you know who does stuff like that? Dads. It's the dads. And that's why Paul is sitting here telling us, and he singles us out for a minute, and he says, dads, fathers, do not aggravate your children. And he says why we shouldn't be doing this, because they're going to become discouraged. And it will hinder the relationship that you have with them. And so that is a warning to us. You know, I have made several parenting mistakes over the years. But one that comes to mind that I want to share with you, I want to share this with you because if you're in the stage either where we are or you're pre that stage, that maybe you can learn from our mistake. That ever since our kids started their elementary school process, we shared with them that we would pay for their college. Now, I think that was a mistake. Now, hear me on this, though. I'm not saying it's a mistake that we would pay for their school, but I am telling you this. I think it was a mistake on our behalf that we let them know that we were going to do this. Because that gave them no motivation to do anything about scholarships and to be chasing that down and figuring out what they could do, or making a choice on a school based on economically what's the biggest bang for the buck. It truly just allows them to be able to go, whatever school I want to go to. In fact, Miri's 15 and she's already decided where she wants to go to school. The University of Hawaii. And if you ask her why, she would tell you, because it's going to be expensive. Now, when we realized that this was something we were like, we probably shouldn't have done this, we began to try to compensate for our own mistake and try to figure out, well, what could we do to try to get somewhere back and get back to a healthy place where we could be? And so we decided to do this. Several years ago, we shared with our kids, if you can get a full ride and you take it, then we will give you a large sum of money as a reward. And that large sum of money would be enough for them to either go buy a car and pay cash for it, or for them to put money down on a house and be able to begin to get their first house when they get out of college. But that, for us, it was about us trying to compensate and go, hey, how can we put some responsibility back and motivate them back to be able to do some things? And so that's something that we did to try to get there. And so that when we look at making parenting mistakes, We don't have to get locked into them. We can look forward and go, well, how can I grow past this mistake, and how can I find some new solid footing again? And that was certainly something that we have attempted to do with that. When it comes to parenting, parents should focus more on the end results than on beginning the journey. That's something that we need to understand, that we should focus more on the end results than on beginning the journey. That it's when that journey first begins to start that you'll see some parents just get all excited and they go all in at this very early stage of parenting. And they tweet about everything and they Snapchat it and put it out there and they post it on Facebook and they either go to Pinterest and get some inspiration, or some parents, they're so locked into the whole what they're going to do and how they're going to do and how they're going to set their... that they're the ones putting stuff out on Pinterest saying, hey, this is what you could be doing and should be doing. And they get that start really young and really early. But then it fizzles out, because the relationship doesn't remain intact. It doesn't remain strong. And what we need to do as parents is we need to put more focus on the end results than on beginning the journey. So parenting is something that we must prepare for. And we must do all that we can do. And when it comes to parenting, let me just ask you a question. Are you somebody that when you thought about parenting, or when you got thrown into parenting, did you parent with this whole idea of, I've got to prepare to parent a baby? Or did you start with, I've got to prepare to raise an adult? Because see, that's really where we've got to be. That we've got to make sure that we're looking at the end result and know what we're aiming for and what we're trying to do and achieve. That parenting is this thing. It's full of pleasure and it is full of pain. That there are pleasures and there are pains that come with parenting. In fact, my mom reminded me often how much of a pain I was right about here when I was growing up. That I was a pain in her neck sometimes. And she did a really good job sometimes of letting me know that she had it to here, right? You know, but you know, she never let me know when she had it to here or here. It was always right to the last minute. I've had it to here with you. It's like, okay, Mom, next time, could you let me know when it gets to here? You know, but parenting. It is. It's full of these pleasures. It's full of these pains. When I think about some of the pleasures of parenting, the pleasure of knowing that you brought life into this world, that's pleasure. The pleasure of knowing that you have rescued a life that has been abandoned when you adopt a child. The pleasure. The pleasure of hearing mama or dada for the very first time. The pleasure that comes with that. The pleasure of sending them off to school for their very first day of school. And the pleasure that comes with that. The pleasure of hearing them say, I love you. The pleasure of watching them begin to get involved with different things, whether it's choosing a sport or being part of a club or beginning to play an instrument and seeing them begin to develop. The pleasures that come from this. The pleasures of watching a grown child, experiencing a grown child, choosing to give you a warm embrace at their own initiative. That's the pleasure of parenting. But then there's the pains of parenting. The pains of when you have a young child, a child that doesn't yet speak and they're hurting and they're miserable, but they can't tell you what it is that's wrong and what it is that's hurting. And yet there's nothing that you can do about it because you don't know. And the pain that comes from knowing you can't do anything. You can't help them in the moment. The pain of disciplining them when they do something that goes against the boundaries that have been established. The pain of watching them having to live through a consequence for a poor choice that they have made. It's painful. And maybe the most painful. The one that, for me, I could truly say this hurts me more than it hurts you, is the pain of disappointing your kids. Of doing something that truly disappoints them. It's painful when that happens. And that we know that we were part of that. But because the promise of the pleasure is greater and more frequent than the periodic pain, most adults, they eventually choose to jump in to parenting. Solomon, who was the wisest person in our Old Testament, who had asked God for wisdom and God granted it to him, he had some things to say to his children. So let's look at this in Proverbs chapter 1, verses 7 through 9. He said, "Fear of the Lord is the foundation of true knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and discipline. My child, listen when your father corrects you, and don't neglect your mother's instruction. What you learn from them will crown you with grace and be a chain of honor around your neck." But there's this crown of grace and a chain of honor when you take the time to learn from and follow the instructions of your parents. See, we're all working toward, if we are our parents and in the thick of it, we're all working toward creating successful kids. And yet, in creating successful children, we sometimes don't realize that just how much pressure comes with that. And then certain things happen and we feel all of the pressure in a moment. There is a lot of pressure. So let's talk about this post-season parenting. I want to give you three specific things that I think are important for you to do when it comes to this post-season parenting. We're calling it the playbook for post-season parenting. And I'm going to look at three specific plays. So play number one is establish new boundaries. Establish new boundaries. It's at this point that we need to establish some new boundaries, some new guidelines when it comes to our kids, our adult kids. See, a boundary simply lets somebody know where they stand in the relationship, where the relationship begins, where it ends, and where they stand within it. And so we need to establish some new boundaries. In post-season parenting, curfews and expectations, restrictions and freedoms change. That these change when we get to this stage of parenting. So Noah, who's less than a year away from being in this post-season parenting stage of life, I was asking him last week, I said, Noah, what is it that you're kind of looking forward to when it comes to college? What is it that's kind of intimidating when you come to college? But let me share with you one thing that he said about what he looks forward to. In fact, I think it was the only thing you said that you look forward to. And it was this: sleeping with my phone in my room. That he is looking forward to that freedom that is coming at that this transition stage of life. Because our kids, from the moment that we had a phone in their hand, it was, that phone doesn't go with you when you go to bed. That phone gets charged in a public place, and it's in the kitchen, and that's where their chargers are, and those phones get charged there. And it's not because they had done something wrong that we were restricting them and taking them away and punishing them. It's because we were protecting them. And we just said, we're just going to do this from the onset, and this is how it's going to be. But yet, that is the thing that Noah is looking most forward to, is being able to have his phone in his room. But it started getting me thinking about, I wonder if I could rent a second dorm for his phone. No, I didn't. But when we get to this stage of parenting, we have to establish new boundaries. Let me give you some things to consider. When your young adult children are either entering college or they're beginning their career, but yet they're still having some dependence on you, and so it truly is this post-season stage of parenting. I've got 8 things. I'm just going to share them with you. They're not on the wall. But one is, give them space and don't be clingy. Now, dads hear that and we're like, okay. But moms hear that and they're like, oh, I don't know if I'm ready for that. I don't know if I'm prepared for that yet. Number 2 is, don't let them come home every weekend. When they begin to move off and they're going off to school, don't let them come home every week. Let them begin to establish life away from you. You can certainly welcome them sometimes, but do not let them come home every weekend. Number 3, let your adult children handle their own problems. That until this stage of life, yeah, their problems are your problems. But once they become an adult, this is when we need to let them handle their own problems. And if they've got a problem with the school when they're in college, this isn't for you to reach out to the school on their behalf. It doesn't matter, because if you do, they're not going to talk to you anyway. But you've got to let them handle their own problems at this stage of life. Number 4, give them financial responsibility. Don't wait until your kids graduate from college and get on their own to go, okay, well, good luck. Hope you can manage everything. Start giving them some financial responsibility during this transition time. Number 5 is, send them care packages. Send them care. Let them know that you still think about them, that you still have a heart for them. They still have a place in your life, even though they're not present, that you still care for them. And so send them a care package. Number 6, give them permission to make mistakes. I mean, they're going to make them whether you give them permission or not. But give them permission. Let them know that you know you're going to make some mistakes, and it's okay. Obviously, we hope that they will learn from those mistakes that they make, but let's give them permission to make mistakes. Number 7 is, let them wrestle with and process and own their faith. This is going to be that time when they begin to discover on their own, what is it that I truly believe? What is it that I'm truly going to live by? What is it that I really think about? What kind of relationship do I even have with God? And number 8 is, the first holiday that they come home for is a big deal. It's a big deal. It's a big deal for them to come back and spend this much time back at home, not just a weekend, but an extended period of time. And what you shouldn't do during this time is don't let them come back home, and now that they're living there for a week because now they're on this extended break, don't force them to do the same chores that you were having them do when they lived at your home, because they don't live at your home anymore. You can certainly ask them to do some things, but remember, you have to establish new boundaries. So what's the second play? Play number 2. Move from monologue to dialogue. Move from monologue to dialogue. See, the monologue, that when we look at it, it is command-centric. It's all about because I said so. This is monologue. This is when we tell them what we want them to do. You need to take out the trash. You need to pick that stuff up and take it to your room. You need to go pick up your sister. This is monologue time when we are in this regular season. But when we get to postseason, we have to move from monologue to dialogue. See, the dialogue is discussion driven. That this is when we begin to just talk with them and have discussions with them. Not that we haven't had them before, but this is where we need to make sure that we've transitioned from trying to be this authoritarian over them into having a different kind of relationship with them. And it's going to take a dialogue for us to do this. See, you've taught them for more than likely 18 years. They know what you think. They know what you believe. They know what you want them to think. They know what you want them to think. They get that. But now this is their time to discover for themselves who they are going to be. And so we don't have to keep harping at this stage. This is where we need to shift from monologue to dialogue. That postseason is their time to experiment with what values they're actually going to embrace for themselves. And we do all we can up to this point to try to guide and help them see what values that we believe are best for them. But then they're going to begin to discover for themselves the values they're going to hold on to. The last one, play number three, is encourage them to connect with an age-appropriate ministry. Encourage them to connect with an age-appropriate ministry. That if they don't end up going down the college route during these early years of just becoming an adult, that they would connect with a Bible study for people that are young in their career. That they would connect and be part of a church that has a college and career ministry. If they're off at college, it makes it even easier. Because if they're off at colleges, most colleges have different ministries that are very specific to where they're at in their stage of life. That when we started looking at different schools with Noah, we went and toured one school that we looked at was A&M. And as we went to A&M, we went on a Tuesday night so that he could see what their big ministry is that they have. Because they've got a ministry called Breakaway that is kind of like being at summer camp and when you go to this Breakaway ministry. And that he got to go in and he sat there and he was there among 4,000 to 5,000 other students that were there. And had just an incredible music time of singing songs and praising. And then he had a great speaker that just related to where they're at in their stage of life. And for him to be able to see that here's a way for you to begin to connect to a ministry. And that's what we want to do. We want to encourage them to do this. You know, the family that you've always wanted, it's going to require you to teach and train your children. You can't get the family that you want without taking the time to teach and to train them. And then those two words have different elements to them. That when we are teaching them, it's all about the words. The words we're using and words we're sharing. But when it comes to training, it's all about the action and the action that we're showing and we're helping them to develop. That we would teach and train. And it's in the preseason that it becomes abundantly clear that what you've practiced has been louder than what you've preached. It's during this stage of parenting, it becomes abundantly clear that what you've practiced has been louder than what you have preached. And so we need to make sure that we are looking at our actions. In fact, one of the things that is going to be discussed in our journey team this week is this right here. That here's this statement, what you practice has been louder than what you preach. What do you wish would have been a quieter action, and what do you wish would have been a louder action in your parenting to date? And we're going to have parents that are just going to be discussing this and hopefully learning from this and sharpening each other and growing through this. Parenting. Parenting should put more focus on the end results than on beginning the journey. This is what we need to do. And that what we practice is far louder than what we preach. When we look at this, there's a Harvard researcher named Chris Argyris. And he noted the difference between two theories: the espoused theory, which is what you preach, and the enacted theory, and that is what you practice. And he's noticed the difference, and what he's noticed is that the espoused theory is just what we preach. It just doesn't register like our enacted theory, what it is that we practice. So as we parent, understand that the loudest thing that you do with your kids is showing them your life. That is so much louder than what it is that you say. Let's do all that we can do as parents so that as our kids move through the seasons of life, that they're going to become successful and we're going to have a rewarding, fulfilling relationship with them that's going to last a lifetime. Pray with me. God, I thank you that parenting is something that can bring so much joy. And yes, there's pain and there's hurt and there's heartache. And sometimes that's thick and sometimes it's more painful than we ever imagined it would be. But God, there's the promise of the reward that it's going to be able to be something that's going to be rewarding. So I pray that during the difficult times, we'd be able to hold on to that. That we would be able to course correct and we would be able to find traction so where we can have that rewarding side of parenting. God, help us as we enter into this post-season stage of parenting. For those that are already in it, for those that have yet to be in it, I pray that you would lead us so that we can do this season of parenting well. Jesus, it's in your name we pray. Amen.